Hey, what's going on? This is the Gravity Falls Gossiper podcast. My name is Eugene, and with me is my co-host, Chris. What's going on, Chris?
What's going on, man?
We should probably explain what we're doing here.
I don't think we should.
You don't think we should?
Let's keep it a mystery.
It's very weird.
Just hope people like it.
We're not used to podcasting, looking at each other so closely, and it's awkward. Anyways, long story short, and you can add whatever you want to, we love Gravity Falls.
He's not lying.
We're obsessed with the show. It is, in my life, the only source of pure, unadulterated joy that doesn't have some sort of a horrible backside. No, but seriously, we are obsessed with this show, and we talk about it all the time, and all our friends hate us because of it, who aren't fans also. And so we decided to make a podcast, but we're going to make a podcast about Gravity Falls, where we basically watch each episode, not while we're recording the podcast.
You won't have to listen to us watch the episode.
And just laugh. Constantly. Yeah. But we're going to watch it. We're going to come back after we finish watching it. We're going to talk about the episode. And then we're going to talk about the themes in the episode and relate that to stories in our real life or just talk about whatever we want to. So it's about Gravity Falls.
But it's also about life. About our lives. It's about things that have happened. We're going to have guests eventually.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. No, we've got
some. What do we got? But anyways, so that's our very bumbling explanation of this because it is early Saturday
and we'll get better at this.
Yeah,
and we're both pretty we both had a pretty interesting Friday night.
So really quickly, gravityfallsgossiper.com will take you to the Tumblr where this is at. It's on iTunes at some point, I'm assuming, since this is the inaugural episode. None of this is really all set in stone. We're on Twitter at gfgossipercast, and you can email us at gravityfallsgossiper@gmail.com. All that will be somewhere that you can read it. Gravityfallsgossiper.com.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
Gossiper is spelled G-O-S-S-I-P-E-R, even though it never looks like it's spelled right. But yeah, so what we're going to do right now is watch the first episode, which, as this episode is titled, is all about gnomes.
Yep.
And we're going to keep going back and catching up with the ones that are already on until we are timely with what's happening each week. But every Friday, 8:30, Disney Channel, I believe, is when they air. Is that Central Time?
I don't know. I also do know, thanks to my little cousin, that the show comes on other times during the week as well, like during daylight hours for kids to watch.
But it's funny because, like,
look, you've all got TiVo or whatever. Just set the look it up and set your thing for it.
Oh, man. Ostensibly, this is supposed to be an all ages podcast. And for us not to curse is going to be very difficult.
I caught myself there.
We are not going to curse. We promise.
Or if we do, we'll bleep it out.
Yeah. So we're going to watch the first episode, which is the pilot. And then we will be back to talk about it right after this. Yay!
Random dance party for no reason! Go, 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 go,
go, go, go! Okay, we are back having read Gold Chains for Old Men magazine.
That's a good issue.
We just watched the pilot. Chris, you have anything to say about it off the bat?
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember. It's weird. Even though this show just came out not that long ago, I don't know what it was exactly that made me think, I have to see this show.
Oh, yeah, we should tell that story because what originally happened was that Chris emailed me and basically was like, you have to watch this show called Gravity Falls. I had never heard about it because I don't really keep up with Disney Channel shows. And I actually thought it was going to be some kind of like a live action like show about, I don't even know what I thought it was going to be about, but I thought it was going to be live action. I didn't even know it was going to be animated. And so I watched it and I got why he was freaking out about wanting to have somebody to talk to about it.
Like, someone please watch this.
But how did you find out about it?
I don't know. That's the thing. It's like, I'm trying to think back to how it's hard. It's so hard for me now to remember a time in my life before there was Gravity Falls, before it didn't occupy my every waking thought. I just know, like, somehow right before, like a day or so before the first episode was supposed to debut on Disney, I saw some picture or something on Tumblr. It must have been something like that. And I was like, all right, I will check this out. And then I saw it and had no idea. I was like not at all prepared for what I was getting into.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it before, like, the reason we like it is, we'll get to the episode in a second. Yeah. All right. Just hold your horses.
Calm down, everybody.
The reason that I liked it so much is that it is literally one of the funniest shows.
Oh, it's laugh out loud, like, funny. How many times have we watched this episode and still just watching it here now, we were laughing out loud together?
Yeah, and I think that's so rare. Like, it, and like, I know that it was Dan McGrath, right? Is the Simpsons guy that's on it? I know that it, like, he is from the Simpsons writer staff or whatever, but it really does remind me of early season Simpsons, which is also why it's a little surprising that it's on the Disney Channel, because it does have, like, some of the humor in there is a little, like, it's not, like, risque or anything,
but it's
not
a little over kids' heads.
Yeah, and that's why and it looks gorgeous. Like, I can't believe how good it looks.
Incredible. That's one of the other things where it seems like they've managed to get so much more. I don't know what the budget for a Disney show is, for like a Disney cartoon like this, but I can't imagine that it's just an endless budget. And they make this show look so amazing, like, and like painterly, and the animation is so slick. Really impressive.
So the first episode is all about introducing Dipper and Mabel going to Mystery Shack, and then it's all about gnomes. Do we have anything else to say about the episode itself? We haven't really talked about the episode before we get into our stories, but
well, it's one of the, like, watching this again, I mean, and we keep watching these same couple episodes
this
over
is
and
probably
over.
like honestly, we've watched this episode more than like 10 times.
Oh yeah,
and we still laughed at it a lot. I don't know what that says about us, but or it says more about the show.
I think it says very good things about the show, but it's you keep not getting what you expect from this show, and it's better than what you expect to get. I mean, if that makes any sense. You know, it's like I thought, oh, this show might be cute or it might be fun, but there's clearly so much heart and work put into making this intelligent and making this, you know, making this fun for everybody. Well, it's like I watched an episode of this, not this episode, but I watched the second episode with like my little cousin, and watching her enjoy it while I was enjoying it was like two totally different experiences. And like, we were getting different things out of it, but I was like, man, this show really is, it harkens back to some of those. There's not many shows anymore, or anything really, that's actually legitimately all ages, where everyone can enjoy it. Like, I feel like the original Muppet Show is the perfect example of a show that is literally all ages, and it's got stuff for everybody.
Well, I mean, I also think it's interesting, like, the way that they make the show. It's very, like, over the credits, they had one of the gnomes barfing the rainbow in just, like, this loop.
Endless loop.
And I mean, I feel like it very much appeals to that internet crowd of people who would have made that into an infinite loop animated GIF in the first place. And they just like serve it to you on a silver platter, like,
here it is anyway.
We know that this is the one image out of the episode that you are probably going to want to look at forever.
That is the one image that I have seen so many people change their Twitter avatars to now.
And also, like, and this, we'll get back to this. This will be a recurring thing, but one of the things that as I watch more episodes of it, I'm always impressed with is the fact that, like, the themes and the lessons and the morals in the story are not, they're not for little kids.
Yeah.
It's not like simplistic, like, oh, be nice. You know, like, it's like this weird, like, sort of almost teenager lessons. Cause I mean, it's interesting to see like someone who's, I mean, I guess Mabel and Dipper are supposed to be 12 years old, as you find out in a later episode, but just showing like a girl being so boy crazy and then going on dates. And, like, nobody really cares that she is going on dates in the woods with this, I mean, zombie-looking dude.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that he's a zombie-looking dude. Just the fact that, like, it's
a teenager.
Like, it would be, that would be a weird thing in any other show. Yeah. Like, for all ages. Because, you know, not a lot of parents want their 12-year-old girls to be going on dates with guys in hoodies walking through the woods alone through cemeteries. But, like, it keeps coming back to these things where it's, like, almost preparing you. Either it is directly for adults to, like, kind of have this interesting, like, lesson served up to, like, think about that. Or it is, like, actually preparing the kids who watch it for, like, these issues that they will get to in maybe 3 to 4 years. Because, like, especially, and we'll talk about this later, but especially episode with Lil Gideon is, like, the most mature episode. Yeah. Like, that is directly relevant to our lives as grown men. And it's about like the whole don't lead guys on and this is what's gonna happen, and it's just like that. This is like a really complex web to weave for like if a 10-year-old kid
for
is
what
watching.
Is supposed to be a kid's show.
Yeah, so this was a, I mean, it's called Tourist Traps. This was pretty simplistic in terms of introducing everyone. It has a little bit of mystery. Dipper got the book.
You start seeing that there. Well, that's the thing. I keep forgetting. I get wrapped up every time we watch one of these. I get wrapped up in the jokes and the sort of the funniness of the story that's going on. But I always seem to forget about, oh, there's also, they keep dropping these little hints about the, you know, the thing with Grunkle Stan at the end. And oh, yeah, quick note. Obviously, do not listen to this before you have watched the episode.
We'll remember to say that next time.
Yeah.
We forgot. So whatever. We're going to assume that this is the first episode, and it is now on, what, episode 7 is coming out next week?
Yeah.
You're probably not going to just find this before you've seen the pilot, but whatever. We've spoiled everything for you at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then like I actually forgot that he finds that those switches in the tree.
Yeah.
Like I just thought that he found the book in a tree, like in my mind. So yeah. And also we're listening, since we're podcasting, we're listening to this on headphones. We look ridiculous right now. But I'm really impressed with how funny the like surround sound screaming of the gnomes
as it ran off.
Yeah, as like it
taken off by the goat.
It like goes across your head as you just hear him yelling as he's getting dragged off. It made both of us crack up in a scene that we probably did not crack up before. So, kudos.
Yeah. Oh, that's there was several things I noticed because I've just been watching this on TV, but like listening to it in these good studio headphones in this luxurious studio we're in.
Right, in a professional 5-star studio. full of a 256 channel mixing board in front of us. But yeah, there was a lot of like the sound actually made a difference. So if you were ever going to watch this for the 20th time, like we are, put some headphones on and watch it on something that'll pan left to right. Because that, like, there was a couple times that the sound mix, I was like, oh man, that is hilarious that
they put that effort into it.
Yeah. It also has some of the greatest Mabel jokes.
Yeah.
As especially the do you like me note, which is which I will tell a quick story before we get to the gnome story, is that I was at Kineticon, which is a kind of geek comic convention in Hartford, Connecticut, the greatest city in the world, Hartford, Connecticut. And I was there tabling, and it was my mission to find as many Gravity Falls cosplayers as I could. And there were actually like not a number of them. And
you'll post all the pictures.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. And one of the girls was cosplaying as Mabel, and she actually made multiple "Do you like me?" notes exactly like the note in the show. And I have it hanging on my refrigerator right now. It's like a prized possession. I think the next time that I start dating someone and write, like, I'm going to have it in my pocket.
Have it, yeah.
Like, right before I know she's going to say yes, because that's probably a bad move to pull.
Don't pull that too quick.
But right before I know she's going to say yes, I'm going to go, wait, hold on. I'm just going to take it out and just give it to her. Because it's just like, she took the time to draw, like, because, like, I'm not the only one that got this note. I saw a number of other people got it. So she took the time to draw multiple notes and go around with it. It was so awesome. But
also, that's going to be great when you're trying to date a girl and you're going, oh, yeah, by the way, here's this thing from this cartoon. Oh, okay, you're leaving. All right.
Oh, by the way, I do a podcast all dedicated to a kid's cartoon of the Disney Channel. What? Where are you going? Whatever, man. It would have never worked out between us if
that's
she couldn't
true.
Accept
if
that.
If she couldn't get this show, then it's not going to work out anyway.
So, okay. Gnomes are the villain in this movie. Or show, whatever.
I shouldn't have called you on. I should have just let it slide.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's utterly ridiculous that gnomes are the villain.
But this is also the coolest use of gnomes I have ever seen in my life.
Oh, man. When I was little, I used to watch that like Nickelodeon.
David the Gnome.
I hated David the Gnome. And I don't know why. I just had this vicious hatred for him. I hated that show.
You're going to hate him more after I tell you my gnome story.
All right, so Chris has been telling me that he has a gnome story, which is like on its face already the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. What is your gnome story?
Okay, here's the deal. And because this story is a very visual story, I'm actually going to do I'm actually going to post along with this episode. I'm going to do like a little cartoon to post along with it. So that you guys can make a little more sense of when I tell the story. But this is an absolutely true story from my life. And
Wait, hold on. Before we start, I'm gonna read for the benefit of anyone
what a gnome is.
What a gnome is from Wikipedia. So I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for gnome. I'm gonna read it. A gnome is a diminutive spirit in Renaissance magic and alchemy, first introduced by Paracelsus and later adopted by more recent authors, including those of modern fantasy literature. Its characteristics have been reinterpreted to suit the needs of various storytellers, but is typically said to be a small humanoid creature that lives underground. Okay.
Huh. Well, there you go.
Who is Paracelsus?
I have no idea.
Let's click on it. Paracelsus.
Let's fall down this Wikipedia.
Was a German-Swiss Renaissance physician, botanist, alchemist, astrologer, and general occultist.
Of course.
He is also credited for giving zinc its name, calling it zincum, and is regarded as the first systematic botanist. Yeah, so.
And he made up gnomes. People used to do so much more. I feel like this is why we don't ever feel satisfied, because we're not doing 15 different careers at once.
I just, like, how are you, what do you do when you're an alchemist? Do you literally, like, change?
You're trying to
make gold out of
rocks. You're trying to change things into other things. I don't think it's strictly gold. I think that's just the most, why don't we look up alchemists on Wikipedia?
No. Anyways, your gnome story.
All right, gnome story. And this was kind of like, if we have a story about things, this is what led us to go, oh, this is what the format of the podcast will be.
You know, our podcast will be always about gnome stories.
About gnome stories.
Just constant gnome stories.
All right, look, I know that some of you listening to this, and even Eugene, I know that some of you do not know me well enough to understand how serious I'm about to be with you. But if you never believe anything else I ever say to you, please believe that this story is true 100%. And if this story did not happen exactly like I say that it happened, you have to believe at least that I believe 100% in my heart with all of my being that this happened. All right, so one night when I'm a kid, at the house we lived at when I was a kid, there was a hallway that went by my bedroom door. And the bedroom door would always get left open because we weren't allowed to have closed doors in my house. And I had a light. I was young enough to still have a night light. To be honest, I was probably a little too old to still have a night light.
Oh, man, but like, same page. Because yeah. I had the night light probably. I asked to leave the hallway light on.
I had a little light
until I was 24.
Yeah, 20. Yeah, this story took place when I was 17. So no, I was probably 8 or 9, maybe. But I had a little night light, and it shone just enough light. And this will make a lot more sense when you see the cartoon that I'm going to draw to like really give you the floor layout of the place. But there is a little space between my door and the other side of the door. I believe that's called a door frame. There's a little in the hallway, and the light from my nightlight was kind of right by the door in my room, so that it would cast this little bit of light out into this dark hallway. And one night, as I would often do, because I was an anxious little kid and couldn't go to sleep until my mom had come to bed, she would put me to bed. And then I would stay in bed wide awake until she came up and went to bed. Then I was like, all right, now it's safe to go to sleep. But I was sitting there like I would do, staring at that little patch of light in the hallway, waiting for her to turn the lights on and come upstairs to go to bed. And all of a sudden, I see this tiny little, like just the tip of something very low to the ground start to poke out from one of the corners of the door. And it's dark, but this is not a dream. I was wide awake for this. This is not like some kind of, oh, I just had a nightmare.
You're so defensive. You don't realize that we may get flooded with people who are like, that happened to me.
Well, no. All right. Let me. Okay. So I see just this tiniest little bit of a tip of something start to creep out from the ledge of the door. And I'm immediately taken aback by this. I'm like, well, what is this about? What's going on? Then it moves back away. And I was like, okay, so I know something moved. And I'm, so now I am dead set glued to just watching this door frame go, what is about to happen? What is going on? Then, and in the hat, head, beard, and all of a little gnome peeks its head out from this corner of the door to look at me. And like before I can scream my head off, all of a sudden it just inhumanly fast darts across the doorway.
What?
Yes, yes. This is exactly
see,
as
okay,
crazy.
Hold on. Because I didn't believe the story was going to actually lead to, and then I saw a gnome.
Yes, but that's not. We are not even to the craziest part of this. As if that was not crazy enough. All right, and so in that hallway, it just darts across like a. It's a blur. It's too fast for something to be should be able to move, especially something so small. And this did not look like a fun gnome. It looked like about the size of the ones in this episode, but it looked like, you know, gnomes are supposed to be really old. Like, it looked like something that would have that kind of age to it. Like, it had the red hat, and it had, like, the big white beard and mustache, but it looked scary. And it darts across. And so now I am terrified. I'm like, all right, if I scream for someone to come up here and check on me,
the gnome might kill them.
The gnome might run in and get me. Oh, okay. Or it might kill them when it comes up. Well, then I was like, oh my God, like I'm terrified. I'm trying to figure out what to do. I'm definitely not getting out of this bed.
No. Because while you're in the bed, you're safe.
Yeah, somehow.
As a kid, that is the logic that you go with.
My bed is just tall enough that a gnome couldn't get to it.
Also, he couldn't lift those covers.
Yeah.
Too heavy.
They're too heavy for a gnome. So, but then I started worried, like you said, I started worrying about like, okay, I've got to sit here and wait until my mom comes to bed. But then I was like, oh my God, what if this gnome is waiting there for her? And eventually she came to bed. She like, I saw the lights come on in the hallway and she walked up, no incident. And I didn't say anything about it to her. I was just like, all right, I guess everything is okay. I got no sleep that night.
Right.
I was still terrified the whole night. Here is the craziest part.
When you woke up, you had all these shoes. You had all these new shoes sitting
all
in your room.
All of my shoes had
amazing.
Been repaired. No, when I...
Those are gnomes. Oh, those are elves.
Elves,
I'm
yeah.
sorry. I'm sorry to any gnomes listening yeah. that we got confused, all right? I mean, or elves. I guess I don't know which one is...
Whoever is going to get offended, we're sorry. Or, hey, it could just be gnome and or elf enthusiasts that could be offended.
Sorry, so, Paracelsus, wherever you are. Making gold out of rocks and hay.
That's making Rapunzel. Gold out of gnome hats. So, all right, like, and... you have to believe this part too.
So far I believe 100%. Like, when the logic kicks in later, but in this moment, I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm living this moment with you.
So the next day, I go to school, and my friend Corey, who you met, you've met. This is the guy who's my oldest friend in the world. I have known him since I was 5 years old. We have gone to school together our entire lives. I still am friends with this guy. I get to school the next day, and I am looking haggard for an 8-year-old. Like, imagine a really...
a hungover 8-year-old.
A hungover 8-year-old from lack of sleep. I'm looking haggard. I get to school the next day. Corey is also looking really... Listen.
Okay.
Corey
100% is going down a little bit now.
No, seriously. Corey is also looking like a little shaken up. And it's like we're going through class, blah, blah. We get to lunch. I have not told anyone about this. I have not said a word because it sounds ridiculous and I am still terrified. We get to lunch, though, and Corey and I always ate lunch together. And I'm like, and I asked, I was like, what's going on? Like, you seem whatever the 8-year-old equivalent of, man, what's going on? You look like you had a rough night. And also kind of hoping he would ask me about my rough night. But he proceeds to tell me an almost identical story, but at his house. We did not talk about this at all. It's like, but then he tells me that he had a very similar story where a gnome ran across his doorway, like peeked in, ran across his doorway.
Where were you living? What city was this?
In Memphis.
Okay.
We were both in Memphis, but we were also, I lived in East Memphis. He lived in Whitehaven.
Well, I mean, it's inhumanly fast. So
yeah, it could get there. It could get there.
It could get there.
But he tells me this story. So I, of course, after he tells me, he's like, man, I think I saw a gnome in my room, like run by my room last night. I completely flip my
lid
over the, Corey, you don't understand. I had that exact same thing happen last night. You were not, like, to this day, this is still a thing you could ask either of us about. And whether it really happened or not, I believe... this is an unshakable truth in my life that this happened.
So, okay. Is that the end of the story?
That's the end of the story. And nothing like that ever happened again. Neither of us ever saw another one.
I would assume if it happened again, this would be added to the story. Yeah. My question to you is this. So, does that mean that you fully believe in gnomes to this day as a grown human being? You're telling this story, and I'm getting the impression that maybe you don't know what you believe, even though you saw a gnome. Like, you're not walking around going, gnomes are real, gnomes are real. Like,
I guess I hadn't thought about it. Well, and I hadn't told this story I hadn't even thought about this story in years. And I was at dinner last week with some people, and somehow the subject of gnomes came up. And I was like, oh, yeah, I've got a gnome story. And then they were like, what? What do you mean you have a gnome story? And then I told them the story, and I was like, oh, this will be great to do for the podcast since that first episode is
all about
gnomes.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, I hadn't thought about it like that. I don't know if I actually believe in gnomes, but I do know that I believe 100% that this happened. So.
Okay, so I just Googled, are gnomes real? And there is the most terrifying picture.
Oh my God.
On the Google images. This is so terrifying.
Oh, I wish you had not shown
I will post this on the Tumblr.
I don't know if you should post
this. It is a grainy image of some sort of a gnome-like creature, like it's Bigfoot, but it's a gnome.
Gosh.
And it just gave me a chill because it's horrifying.
Yeah, okay, imagine being 8 years old and seeing that shudder across your, like, right in front of your room.
Now we are looking at the image Google search results of "Are gnomes real?" And that is the only one that has any credence to it, I guess. There it is again.
Man.
That's horrifying. So what I will give you respect for is this. Let's say this really happened, right? No judgments either way. Let's say this really, truly happened. And you saw all this. As an 8 year old, I cannot believe you are not more screwed up right now than you are. Like, this would be a horribly scarring incident if this happened to me as an 8 year old, seeing a gnome. Like, I thought you were gonna just tell a story like it was a shadow that just ran by. You didn't see the gnome face.
No, this was without a doubt clearly a gnome. Thinking about it now, I think that really what kept me from losing my mind about it, like what kept me from being
was David the gnome on Nickelodeon.
No. What kept me from losing my mind about it was the fact that then my closest friend also believed me and was in it with me. So it was like, look, there's no way we're both crazy. We just had this crazy experience.
Yeah, that's crazy. Because when you were like, I have a gnome story, I was like, surely this story isn't going to be, I saw a gnome. But it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So if anybody else has seen a gnome out there,
tell us your gnome stories.
GravityFallsGospel@gmail.com. So I guess I will tell a story in relation to the theme of the episode, which is nowhere near as thrilling and supernatural as Chris's story. So the theme of this episode, or the moral, I guess, is about siblings. It's about trusting your siblings and family is important and et cetera, et cetera.
Blah, blah, blah.
And that gnomes are jerks.
Yeah. Gnomes are butt faces.
Gnomes are butt faces, as Mabel says. But okay, so I will tell an embarrassing story about high school me and how much of a sappy, like, romantic loser I was.
So nothing's changed.
So nothing has changed at all, ladies. I have an older sister. She's about 4 years older than me. And when we were growing up in high school, We were not very close because she was this very serious person, and I was like this very like played my electric guitar really loud and ran around with skater punks and stuff. I didn't skate. I was a poser, but I wore the clothes and I looked like one. But so we never got along, and I always kind of had this like rivalry with her because it was always like we had rooms right next to each other, and I was obsessed with music, and I listened to it too loud, and she would always come in and like lecture me about how loud my stereo was, even though my dad gave me like the old gigantic speakers that he used to have when he got a new system. So we always had this like very like not warm and affectionate relationship growing up. And this is like the best. So this is the best story that always taught me that like family will be there for you, even if she kind of hates you. Yeah. Right. So I had a girlfriend, and when I was 17, it was my first girlfriend ever. And we dated for almost a year. And it was like, you know, you're like your first girlfriend in high school. You're going to be like totally head over heels for her. She worked at a place where there was a guy who would always try to hit on her and like talk to her and like get her attention. And it was one of those instances. Look, I don't know if kids are listening right now, but we're gonna talk to the adults for a second.
Kids, you will get there eventually.
You will get there to the point where you understand the pain of this.
This story is going to help you in the future.
So it was one of those instances where you talk to a girl, or when your girlfriend is like, no, he's just my friend. And you're like, no, this dude is...
This is a bad guy.
He is trying to like break us up and date you or hook up with you or whatever. Like, he is a bad dude,
which is the worst thing that can possibly happen to a teenager.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's the end of the world.
Yeah, that is end of the world right there.
But it kept on going where she's like, no, he's just a friend, like it's not like that, blah blah blah. She's like, and then, you know, she gets angry at me because she's just like, you're just being jealous. And I was like, I'm not being jealous. This dude is actively like giving you back massages and things like this. Like, this is
high school.
Yeah. And so look, I'm gonna be real with you guys for a second. Me and her, we had a song, okay? And I'm going to tell you what it is, even though it is so embarrassing. Because when you're in high school, you have a song, okay?
Yeah, of course.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, world. It was Casey and JoJo's All My Life. And if you are too young to know what that song is, go YouTube it. Because, look, I don't even know if it's good or not because it's so wrapped up in all these emotions that I have. So that was our song. Yeah, it's embarrassing. I know. And so there was this like dance that was happening where a bunch of schools like did this like, you know, like a high school dance.
Yeah.
And we had broken up just before then for reasons other than the guy. But the guy was always like a reason.
Yeah.
And I went to this dance and she was going to be there. And I felt really bad because I didn't want her to like see me dancing with other girls, because look, when you're in high school, slow dancing with other girls, you feel like the biggest baller if you can just do that awkward robots slow dance with your arms fully extended. And if you are a single dude, you try to slow dance with girls. I know, what losers we all were back then. What were we thinking about? Although if life was like that now, it'd be a lot easier.
Yeah,
you just go to a dance with a bunch of like 20, 30 somethings, and you're just like, hey, would you like to slow dance? And
they're like, would you like to awkwardly slow dance like teenagers?
And they're like, well, I guess, because there's really nothing else to do
here. We should try this out at the next thing.
Just slow dance.
If it makes you feel any better, I went to a school where dancing was forbidden.
Oh,
so
Footloose.
We didn't even get that.
You went to the school in the town of Footloose.
Yeah, I lived in Footloose. Footloose was actually based on my life.
We went to this dance and I was like staying away from all these girls because I was like, she's going to see me and she's going to get all sad. And I was trying to be like considerate because back then I had like compassion. And then our song came on and I got so upset, like just sad, that I walked outside. And like one of my best friends came out and he was just like, he's like, hey man, you know, like, I know you're sad and like it really sucks, but like, you know, it's over. So you need to go back in there and just like, you know, be okay with this. Like, it was like a really like mature thing for like us a 17-year-old to say to me. It was an old man who appeared out of the blue. So I was like, you're right, man. I was like, I'm going to go back in. I'm going to be okay with this. Walk back in before the song's over. Who's she dancing with?
Of course.
She's dancing with that dude.
Yeah.
That was the problem.
Yeah.
And I got... A part of me died that day, guys. And I've never been the same since, because I was like, oh, man, it's on.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're no longer going to be nice to each other. So,
oh, I thought you meant it was on then the kung fu fight started.
Yeah, yeah. Shaolin soccer happened. So the point of the story is that I heard a story from my mom later, because my sister, I mean, we didn't talk about girls and boys. Like, 4 years apart when you're in high school is like a weird,
it's too far.
It's a weird gap. But I remember she was back from college, and my mom told me that they saw my ex-girlfriend, and my mom had told her the story, because my mom told her the story, because I guess my mom...
You went home and cried to your mom.
I went home
it.
And told my mom. I don't think I told her specifically the dance story, but I definitely told her that I was upset because blah, blah, blah. So my mom must have told my sister this. And when my sister saw my ex, my sister said something really mean to her. And then my mom told, and like my sister has
did what your sister say was, is it fit for Disney?
I don't know. I don't remember the exact words. I think it's pretty fit for Disney because she wouldn't say those words, but she was pretty vicious to her. Right. Okay. And my sister never told me. We've never talked about it. But to this day, that's like the fondest memory I have of my sister, because my mom came back and told me this. And I was like, oh, man, she's always got, like, she will always have my back. Yeah. You know, like, even if we are fighting and we're vicious with each other and we don't get along, she's definitely going to go, oh, did you mess with my little brother? Well, I'm going to ruin you right now and shame you in public. This girl that she has never spoken to or maybe met once in her life, and she was just so mean to her, apparently. And I was like, family will always be there for you.
Yeah.
And that's Pat, awkward sibling hug. And that's the story that came up in my mind when I thought about the theme of this episode. So, look, is there anything else we need to say about this episode?
It was great. This is like such a good introduction. And it's free. If you haven't seen the episode, if somehow you're listening to this just because you know Eugene and I.
Or if you are somebody's girlfriend, some nerd's girlfriend or boyfriend, and they are forcing you to listen to this because they are obsessed with Gravity Falls and you're not.
Well, first of all, we apologize for that. But the first episode of Gravity Falls is free in HD on iTunes. You can get the pilot for free and watch it. And after you watch it, you will probably like it.
If you are like almost there to the point of loving it, watch episode 2.
Yeah.
Because it's going to... We love episode 1, but there is a jump in the level of awesomeness from 1 to episode 2 that is, like, incredible. Yeah. So, and you know what? Like,
I think this is one of the best pilots for a television show I've ever seen.
It's the only best for a kids show that I've ever seen. So,
have you seen a lot of pilots for kids shows?
When I was a kid, maybe? Seriously, though, David the Gnome, that show filled me with rage when it came on. I don't understand. I'm like, go back to Pinwheel.
Yeah.
But, or Doug? Was that something that was on?
Doug was also on.
All right. So anyways, episode 1, Tourist Trapped, gravityfallsgosper.com. We will put up the horrifying picture of the gnome.
And we'll put up several. We'll put up Eugene's pictures from Kineticon of all the different people. We will put up, I will draw my little cartoon to give you a full idea of what my gnome encounter was like.
I will put up a YouTube of Casey and JoJo's All My Life.
Yeah, and we'll put up we got to hide that scary gnome picture. Like, we can't just put that
up. We'll put a link to it.
Yeah, we'll put a link to the scary gnome picture.
So, this is the first episode. It will get more smooth and structured. Yeah. We promise.
Sadly, I don't think I have anything else like this gnome story for any other episodes, though, so I don't know what we're going to do.
But like Chris said, we are hopefully going to have some guests on of relevance to the show. And if you guys enjoy it or whatever, tweet at us or email us, gravityfallsgosper@gmail.com. GF GosperCast on Twitter, and we will put information for me and Chris online as well. So, we did it.
We did it.
We're going to high five now. Oh, did you hear that in the background? Anything you want to say in closing? We got to figure out a way to get out of this.
Yeah, that's been podcast.
All right, see you guys next time. From now on. Everyone that wasn't at